100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon, and today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, since I post a topic and challenge you to come up with stories. I also make excuses for the poor audio quality, but not this week. Everything should be crystal clear. It's your problem. The topic this week was, I don't know what that is. We've got a lot of stories this week, so we should just get hopping and jumping and right to it. First up, we have inertial vroom. I love saying that. It makes my mouth hum in pleasurable ways, especially when I'm drinking coffee. Good stuff.
The editor curse. We were in the trenches at Tripoli. The Turks fired their cannons at us. I saw a figure that looked like Buddha, floating above the struggle. Bullets did not affect his calm appearance. The Turks scrambled over the trench and I drew my knife. I noticed my enemy had my face. I dropped my knife and ran, and so did my enemy. Miles away, I looked in the water to see my reflection while I quenched my thirst in a small stream. I had the uniform of a Turk and a face I did not know.
Thank you, Inertial Voom. All week long, I will probably be saying, I have the face of a Turk! That'll be a great opening line. People will adore me. Next up, we have Bonchance Longfall. Does he have the face of a Turk? I'm not sure, but I do know what I don't know what that... This is a very strange topic. I should just stick my foot in my mouth, my Turkish mouth, and have him read his stories.
Go, Bonchance!
Noticed in the Chronicles, want ads of an opening for a short fiction reader. Wonder if Crafts Midget saw that. I don't know what it is about this week's Craft Merida 100 Word Challenge, but I felt compelled to do two drabbles for this week. The drive. I don't know what it is. Appointments are always on Monday. Heavy traffic with long drives and still no time to talk. Tom could see her friend in the back seat texting. In the passenger seat, Kristen was watching the miles pass through the window, listening to music on her headphones. He smiled as he heard the music, remembering how he used to scold her for having it up too loud. He laid his hand on her hand. She squeezed his hand tight and smiled, still looking out the window. Tom returned his attention to driving, thinking, talking's overrated. Treble stew. What is it, Bones? I don't know what it is, Jim, but I know I didn't put it in here. Scotty leaned his head down to the pot and smelled it, saying, I don't know what it is, Captain, but it don't smell right. Jim nodded his head and said, Let's give it to the Vulcan. He can eat anything. If he gets sick from it, we'll just say it must be too much garlic, like last time. Spock always did say that humans had a rather bland taste in food, which explains why he had so few human friends.
Thank you, Bonchance. And where did you see that listing for story reader? That's kind of a crazy listing. But then, no, I'd wind up doing horrible things like taking off my shoes and putting my socks in my hands and having my socks read them. Then they'd steal the job from me. Those evil socks. That's why we bleach them, to keep them in their place. Oh, thank you, Bonchance. This is why shoes don't talk, even though they have tongues. Next up, It's Loganberry. Ah, someone new. And it's my favorite kind of wine, Loganberry. And my favorite kind of pie, too, right up there with Morganberries. Oh, how I loved those pies years ago, going through Whidbey Island. Oh, God, I gotta get back there. I gotta get back there one day just to eat the... Ooh, I wonder if they ship the pies. I should look up on their site and beg them to overnight a pie. Any cost? No, I don't care. Oh, here's Loganberry and their story.
It was round and shiny. Droplets of dew slithered down its skin. It hung heavy among the leaves. She had never seen anything like it. She encircled it with trembling fingers and pulled until it came away. Ravenous, she brought it to her nose, inhaling deeply. It smelled sweet, but tart, too. Sour, but tantalizingly ripe. She bit. "I don't know what it is," she whispered, "but it's good." "Let me taste," her companion cried. She ignored him. Her eyes closed in heavenly bliss. "Dad says we have to share," Adam muttered sulkily. She considered his words and generously relented.
Thank you, Loganberry, for making the midget talk all sexy-like. Ha ha ha, I need a shower right now. All right, who's next? Ah, Tura. Okay, speaking of talking sexy-like, here's Tura. Oh, yeah, let's find out. I can't wait to hit play right now. I don't want to hit play while I'm talking, but so I should stop talking and then hit play and then all the buttons. I'm still using Audacity 1.13.1, the latest 1. As opposed, they have a new 2.0 version out now. So I should probably wait until, like, the first few fixes they have. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, we put Viperware in there. It'll turn your laptop a Viper. And so I'll go ahead and just with my old clunky Audacity, hit play and bring Tura into the mix.
There is a secret that all make semblance to know, yet none speak. It is whispered in the darkest recesses of the fitful night. For one day it appeared as a graffito scrawled in the stifling summer heat of a derelict alley in Montmartre. It is written in a book that does not permit itself to be read. It is the secret that God told to the serpent told to Eve, and Eve told to Adam. But I think that the true secret is that the secret has been lost, and none any more knows what it was.
Thank you, Tura. Ooh. I just like making that sound. Next up, speaking of making fun sounds, it's Lizzie Goodcough. Oh, this is... Wait, hold on. No, not this one. And a link to the Machinima shot based on this... Ooh, there's Machinima. Oh, I'm going to get that in there. Okay, hold on. I'm going to get that into and scroll down. And under Lizzie's name, if you go into the archives, you know, at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, in addition to the link to her site, if you scroll down to the text of her story, her name is going to be a link to the Machinima. It's right. Machinima? Machinima? I never know how to pronounce that, and I don't care. The Machinima. That's based on this story. So here's the story, and then you'll want to go there for the full effect. Get your 3D glasses on, put on your 3D pants. It's a good old time.
Hi, everyone. This is my entry for the week. I run frantically. A dead end is ahead, and yet another. I run and turn and run again. Stopping for a moment, I look up. All the windows are closed, the doors locked. Fearful, people are hiding, but he's out there, lurking in the shadows. Suddenly, he appears from nowhere, confident. I can feel him right behind me. I turn around slowly. It is time. I grab my sword and slash him dead. I smirk and walk back to the central plaza, to the light. This strange force, I don't know what it is, but the city is still mine. Okay. Do drop by my blog, lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, if you like. And this week I'm very happy to tell you that London Junkers and I at LNL Square have shot a machinima based on this story. It came out really nice, and we are very happy with it. So I invite you to visit LNL's blog at lnlsquare.blogspot.com. And I think you're going to enjoy it. I hope so. Okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Get your hands off my London junk! Oh, sorry. Thank you, Lizzie. And I've gone ahead and put a link to that movie thing file. Whatever they're called. I don't want to have to say the name Machinima again. All right. Next up, we have Tom. He doesn't have updates, but he did manage to get the sound file through the rain. The rain of the gods are messing with his internet connection. But they relented just long enough for him to get out this one last message before the floodwaters came.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and tonight's story is called The First Greatest Mystery of Life. I don't know what this is, said Tommy. Most ads in McCall or Redbook were highly identifiable. Even objects he had never actually come in contact with held enough temporal form to not cause question. But this ad was weird. A single box smack dab at the edge of the page. Where most ads were peppered with claims, descriptions, and testimonials, this one had one single word upon the small blue box. Timmy asked Mom, "What is M-O-D-E-S-S?" She blushed, then laughed, "Because." He didn't get the joke, figured it was just some unfathomable adult mystery.
It is a mystery, one of the deepest mysteries of all mankind. But even more mysterious, why were the baby panthers outside this morning? I didn't see them all morning. And then, like, you know, I watched Bruin, and he ran across the fence, and I'm like, wait, hold on. So I went out there and grabbed him, and then I put him inside, and then as I'm getting the other one, he runs back outside, even though I'd closed the door. And I look, wait, hold on. The middle sliding glass door was left open because I had the power strip out there because I was using the laptop from the patio yesterday. Oh, God, I'm an idiot. So they're both inside. Isn't that right, Boo-Boo? Yeah, he doesn't talk on demand like Nardo used to. So thank you, Tom, and hopefully y'all don't mind that interruption of me having to go out and get the cats. Not that you would have noticed, because this, you know, I post all this and then edit out all the weird stuff like that. Right, next up, this one is not going to be read by Nick Cage, but it will be read by Muncie! Although if you are Nick Cage and you are listening, you can send in a story if you want. I just, you know, you might as well tell the story to Michael Bay. That way you can make a $1 billion movie out of it instead of, you know, what this is. So here's Muncie.
Greetings. Muncie here, and I want my fiction inside you. Wow, that came out creepier than I intended it to. Wait, no, I'd meant to be exactly that creepy. Well then, success! Now, let's do some fiction. Improv by Chris Monroe. It's an improv rule. Once something's said out loud, it becomes a fact. No matter how foolish the idea sounds, it's what's happening and you have to commit to it 100%. After a number of years doing improv, I started applying this rule to my day-to-day life. Anything suggested, if even remotely feasible, I'll agree to. It's gotten me into my share of trouble, to be sure, but it's also led to some of the weirdest, wildest times of my life. So I'm sticking with my improv rule. When opportunities come up, I'll always accept them. Because I don't know. Tweets at Munzee Munzee, flash fiction at munzeestories.blogspot.com, by which I mean fiction that's very short, not fan fiction about DC Comics' The Flash. Though I imagine that guy could probably crank out a heck of a 100-word story if he put his mind to it.
Actually, The Flash did try to send in a story, but it was all swear words, and that dude, you know, he just runs off at the mouth. But people who don't run off at the mouth, well, that's Munzee. Every word is quality, I tell you. That man knows how to pick his fights. I mean words. He'd never fight. He's a pacifist. Unless, you know, you start slapping him on the face, and he'll just, bam, one punch, you're down. Thank you, Munzee. Next up, we have someone new. Yay! And they're funny, too. Well, funny in a funny kind of way. Okay, I'll stop sucking up now. This one's Serendipity Haven. Serendipity Haven. Oh, pure luck. Uh-oh, I gotta fix that. I put Serenity in there. Stupid autocorrect. Arr! God, I get so pissed off at this stupid thing. I hate autocorrect. Do you hate autocorrect? If only there were a website that, like, made fun of all these autocorrect things that happen. Oh, God. Just... Alright, that's fixed. Alright, that was so embarrassing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Serendipity. That was just bad luck on my part. Alright, I'm going to get the midget out right now, so I hope you don't mind that. Alright, it's going to be okay? The midget, you don't mind? Yeah, I mean, if I had a giant, I'd have the giant read the stories, but they wouldn't fit in my basement. Maybe they would if I kind of squished them, or if they were a little giant, but still, here's your story, as read by the midget.
There it is, on the mantelpiece, rescued from the gutter. I don't know what it is. Curiosity got the better of me. Now it sits there, intriguingly organic and fibrous. A mystery waiting to be solved. I like to think it might be one of those desert flowers. Its dry husk ready to burst into bloom for one magical moment, like a chrysalis springing briefly into life. It's probably not. More like a simple piece of street flotsam, somebody's thrown away fruit peel, or the skeleton of an old leather purse. I don't really care. It's my little mystery.
Ooh, it's my little mystery, too. Oh, thank you, Serendipity. And I'd just like to mention that Building a Mystery by Sarah McLachlan has nothing to do with starving and dying pets. Because, oh, God, I just, in the arms of an... God, I just want to... This is why people are running away from television. Not because of crappy, uncreative shows, but that damn Sarah McLachlan PETA commercial. Urgh! All right. Speaking of running away, don't run away from Zach Man, because he's got a story for you. Yes, he does. Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't have a pie for you. No, he doesn't bake Morganberry pies or Loganberry pies. We're not going to bake Loganberry into a pie. Loganberry writes stories. You people are crazy. I'm just going to play this.
You have a disorder. What do you mean? Because you download all those ebooks, most of which you never read, just because they are free doesn't mean you have to download them. But some on Digital Inkspot are only free for a limited time. Gotta catch 'em all! See what I mean? And your internet friends like Dave Avila and Jeremy Shipp are just enablers. If I have a disorder, then just what is said disorder called? Just because I don't know or no one has coined a name for it doesn't mean it isn't a disorder.
I would like to confirm that Dave Avila and Jeremy Shipp are enablers. They enable me to fly to heights unimaginable, but not great heights, because then I'd be Jeffrey Height, the height of podcast fiction. As opposed to Zach Man, the Zach of podcast fiction. Thank you, Zach Man. Next up is... No, wait, that's Tom sending in his sound file when the rains relented. So, yeah, there's Steve... Oh, Steven the Nuclear Man. Oh, goody, yay, oh, this is gonna be exciting. Oh, Robin, my old chum, let's go down the bat poles and see what that Joker is up to.
It is layered deep. Blackwards shift, sliding and interlocking shields. Seraphs sculpting sinister glyphs. They guard it. They keep it from me. My shears of punctuation and logic piece together with loci of syllogisms. Puncture words, play havoc with layered defenses. The words scream non sequitur shouts of agony and rage. I press on. You should have. Snip. Immature ass. Snip. You didn't. Snip. You never. Snip. The last word screams, I'm leaving, but I snip, snip, snip it away. I reach into the center of the fallen fortress to claim my prize. I don't know why I'm alone.
I believe you're alone because you need to go to Match.com to match up with other people looking for matches.
I need to light my cigarette, but I don't have a cigarette lighter.
Here, let me give you a match.
Oh, thank you. Wait, I need a matchbook to strike this on.
It's a strike anywhere match.
Match.com for all your match needs. No, that wasn't an advertisement. I was doing some silliness on the Twitter feed. I'm going to try to do that more often, even though I probably won't. A little thing about time travel there. So, and I will go back in time, and before this ramble, say, thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. Next up, it's Talk Marie Red Goddess Marie Red Talk Goddess Forbridge. She has a site. It'll explain all the talk in the Marie and the Red Marie Goddess stuff. I'll start again. It's Red Goddess and her story, as read by a midget.
The weathermen predicted record-breaking temperatures. No sun in sight, but traffic is already backed up. Everyone is in a hurried state to grab something before reaching work. By 11:12 a.m., a nearby hotel bursts into flames as commuters run for cover inside various businesses. Within minutes, flashing red and blue lights blanketed the city streets. Fire trucks and ambulance vans dispatched to the affected neighborhood. At exactly 11:21 a.m., the whole city went pitch black. An old lady, covered in ash, asks the officer directing traffic, "Do you know what's floating in the air?" He mumbles, "I don't know what that is."
"Oh, I know what it is." "Come on, it's Rush Limbaugh. Oh, look up there, you see? All those pills falling from his pocket. Come on, don't you recognize him from the posters? Although he has lost a lot of weight. Still, he's huge." "Oh, sorry. Actually, it's Adam Curry, that asshole. Oh, thank you, Red Goddess. Coffee. Yeah, hello, Bruin. See, Bruin is now that he's trapped inside, has decided, I'm going to hang out with a human. I'm going to hang out with the one that's awake who will pet me, instead of the one asleep who will hug on me. Why don't you go see Mommy? Mommy loves on you. She loves it when she gets to hug you."
"No."
"Naruto would knock some sense into you, you little bastard." "Yeah, hello. You're such a good boy." Okay, he's not going to talk back, though. He, every now and then, he'll say something in the kitchen, but no. And then the little baby is like, "I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to open my eyes wider until they pop out." Freaky cat. Oh, all right, enough about my cats. More about Uncle Monster, otherwise known as Clifford. But you can call him Uncle Monster. Hey, how's that monster doing?
Who Knows? By Clifford Lowe. I don't know what it is. It just sits there, staring at me with its dark, probing eyes. 3 feet tall and covered in rust-colored fur, it watches me as I go about my day. I never see it move, but it shows up wherever I go. No one else has seen it, or at least no one will admit to it. I've stopped asking. I can't touch it. I can't bring myself to try. I just ignore it, pretending it isn't there, that I'm not crazy. I can't help but wonder, though, does it know what I am?
Yes, it does know what you are, because you added your URL to your note, and people can look up and say, yeah, it knows what you are. So you can't, I don't know, maybe the Wi-Fi signal is bad. Oh, thank you, Cliff, Uncle Monster, Clifford, all that, and then some. All right, we're getting to the home stretch here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more stories. I know you can hold in for this. Come on, you can do it. I can do it. Everyone get up and stretch. Unless you're driving, then, you know, just stretch what you can. Both on the hands on the wheel. That's what you have passengers for, damn it. It's time for buttermilk. Oh, yes. My favorite form of milk that I use for cooking instead of drinking, because you don't drink buttermilk. Do you? I don't know. Maybe some people do. But I don't. Although I've got some of it in the fridge, maybe it's been there for a few weeks. Maybe I should have made bread with it. I should get more buttermilk, and then a few weeks later think, I should have made bread with it. Just wasteful. That's what I am, wasteful. And I'm wasting your time right now. Oh, here's buttermilk.
What is it? 100 words. Hey, check this out. What is it? Look, have you seen anything like it? Oh, what's it called? You poke it. No, it looks all spiky. Feel right here. Oh, wow, weird. Look what happens when you do this. Wow, cool. Let me try. Can you smell it? It kind of smells like grass. Doesn't it look weird? Totally weird. It's all spirally. Don't drop it. Okay, don't worry. I won't. I found it out in the field. I want one. Look. Look at this here. It's so cool. I think so, too. Sorry. What'd you say it was called?
I don't know what it's called. I didn't call it anything. I left the label off. I hadn't come up with a name. I was looking up what was available for a domain name and then tweeting and all that stuff in Pinterest, and I just wanted to come up with a unique name that was easy to remember, but, you know, unique, because I didn't want to, like, take something that already existed, like, oh, it's just a big pile of Google, and then, like, you know, go, oh, damn it, that name's taken. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Buttermilk. Buttermilk! Just type in. Oh. Next up is Guy David. Oh, yes. Let's see what wackiness he has in store for you. You know, he wanted the topic to be the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. The world is the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. The church is in your heart. The church is everywhere. Ooh, wait, what was that? That just wasn't a flying spaghetti. Ooh, I should have spaghetti for dinner tonight. I know that we're going to House of Pies for lunch, but they don't do spaghetti. But maybe I'll have something nice there. What do you think? I'll take a photo of it and let you all see. And then my wife, you know, shoving pie in my face. That'll be fun. Yeah. Yay! Except I may not have room for pie. God, I hate getting old. Okay, here is Guy David.
Blank Page, a 100-word story by Guy David. I entered the building, the microphone hidden in my shirt. Everyone was already there, blending in. The mall was full of people, shopping, talking, arguing, living their lives. I headed for the second floor. The mall speakers started playing the music. I started singing, my voice also coming through the speakers. People stopped in confusion, wondering what's going on. A woman on the first floor joined in, then another woman on the second floor. We exchanged looks and winked. As the final singer, another man on the first floor, joined in, I knew our lives would never be the same.
Let's all take a moment to sing. I like to sing.
Thank you, Guy David. I hope you all sang during that. If not, hit rewind and sing along. Come on, I don't want to sing alone. I'm not in the shower, right? Although I wouldn't mind having a whole bunch of people in the... No, there's not much room in there. No, I need a bigger shot. What do you think, Bruin? Oh, he's just being a lump. Hello, boo-boo. I'm not going to call you Buddy, because that name is retired. Yeah, you're going to be the Boo. With 2 feet of... Everyone gets a 2 feet of tummy. Yeah, I'm petting his tummy. He loves tummy rubs. He absolutely loves them. Yes, he does. He is such a tummy slut. Oh, shit. Now everyone's going to be pissed off at me calling. Never mind. Let's go with... Ooh! Abernathy, after all these centuries, has returned and brought Sashi with her. Oh, yeah. Sashi and Abernathy, like the 1-2 punch of punching. Okay. I'm too excited. It's all this coffee. I'll go drink some more coffee.
Here are the two kids. Oh, it's going to be great.
Barnabas had always wanted to be a contestant on Guess What It Is. Finally, his day is here. His dream has come true, and he was ready. He wore his favorite purple cardigan and didn't change his socks from the night before. Barnabas was wedged between a professor and a cryptozoologist. If he wasn't nervous before, Barnabas was now. It was the third round, and he had no score. Sweating, his hand hovered over the buzzer as the display item was rolled out for everyone to guess. Barnabas knew what it was. With a quick reaction, his buzzer sounded. It's a...
What? What is it? No! No, you can't tease me like that! Maybe next week we'll find out. Thank you, Sashi. And Abernathy. You know, she was talking, but her microphone was muted. Next up, we have Norval Joe. That's right, he takes all week to pour his heart out into these stories, and then only when it's ready, he waits a few more days and then he sends it in. This is why I do them on Sundays, to give him an extra day to get them done. Although, really, that I put the notice up on Sunday, that way, you know, as he's coming out of church, he looks and says, all right, God, shouldn't I put so much in the plate? Oh my God, that's the topic! And then he, you know, the signal goes up, you know, into the clouds, and he rushes off to the Norval Joe cave. It's right next to the Bat Cave. It's not as big, but it's actually much cleaner in there. Not all those damn bats, although there are bears in there. So he's like, oh, get out of the way, you bear! I've gone silly again, haven't I? God, this coffee. It's extra caffeinated coffee. Oh, heart explode Dunkin' Donuts. No, it's not Dunkin' Donuts, actually. It's World Market. Although it's probably made from the same coffee processing plant. They just use different labels. But it's all the same slave children. Ooh, Coney Coffee. Yummy. You know, when I saw it, I thought it was Kona Coffee? Coney Coffee? You know, oh, yeah. We're tired of all these expensive fair trade coffees. This is unfair trade. You know, we're like sitting across the negotiating table with knives and whips and women with their blouses half open. You know, it's totally unfair negotiated.
absolutely. Plus, it's a warm office. We're sitting, we've already sat in an ice cooler for, an hour or so, And then there are distractions, and we haven't let them go to the bathroom, and we give them all the soda they want. Okay, never mind. That'll turn into a story, though. Unfair trade coffee. So, here we go with Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available on Podiobooks.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 308. With a prompt of, I don't know what it is. I'd like to thank Odin One Eye for his review on The View from Valhalla of my patio book. It made my heart feel good. Well, here's my story. Spleen crouched behind the woodpile and watched as the woman and boy approached. The axe handle felt comfortable in his sweaty palm. His forked tongue slipped between his scaled lips and tasted the scent of their blood. They couldn't see him in the shadows under the eaves of the woodshed, yet they strode directly toward the half-goblin. "I don't know what it is about goblins," the woman said. "They think they're invisible when they're in plain sight." "What do you mean, Sharika?" the boy asked. Spleen laughed and launched himself over the woodpile to answer the boy's question. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Ah, yes, half-goblins, this miscegenation of our blood is horrible, and it should be prevented. There is no market for goblin-human sex. But, if you've got goblin-on-goblin pornography, or human-on-human pornography, you're going to make a killing. But the goblin-on-human stuff, the human-on-goblin stuff, it blows the mind. I mean, not only does it disgust the humans, but the goblins, that's not their thing either. It's just, no, keep them separate, man. Keep them separate. Thank you, Norval Joe. Oh, great, now I'm going to have all the goblins pissed off, too. It's not enough that I've driven away all the human listeners. Now all the goblin listeners are going to be, Glendor, give me the iTunes. I'd take off that 100-word story. Say, you bastard hate, goblin hater, bastard. I'm going to go vote. This is terrible. Click on the report abuse link. We have one more story left, and that's by Planet Z. No, there will not be any goblin sex during this story, but if you want to, you can imagine it. Here's Planet Z.
It used to be that there were just plain and peanut M&Ms. You could tell which was which by the shape. Now they have all different kinds. Pretzel, peanut butter, coconut, dark chocolate, and even mint. Oh, and white chocolate. And the peanut with the peanut butter. And instead of the usual boring colors, all kinds of crazy colors, too. When I pick up an M&M now, I've no idea what it is, or if it's an M&M at all. These sleeping pills look like M&Ms, and Rich Uncle Fred loves them. They'll rule it suicide. Better double-check the will.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about, I don't know what it is. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway because you're too busy watching goblin sex. Until next week, when the topic will be... No, it won't be goblin sex. It'll be rhymes with itch. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.